Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Sunday Night Live. As always, I'm excited to have my guest in the house with me tonight. We've got Michael Munu all the way, I'm going to say Dallas, because I don't know what suburb you're in. So you're going to have to tell us, Munu.
We are in a little bitty tiny town called Poetry, Texas. And it's about an hour and a half east of the Dallas area. And we actually just became a town, I believe it was in 2020, May of 2020, we officially became a town. It was just another, small farming, ranching community, and they incorporated during the COVID time, and so now we're official. So it's funny, the very first time that Poetry was seen on any kind of television map, it was kind of a bad situation. It was during a thunderstorm warning or tornado warning. And Poetry was on the map, so one of our neighbors took a picture of the TV and put it on Facebook, and we're like, you know what? We'll take any publicity right now.
That's exactly right. Any publicity is good publicity.
That's exactly right. It'll always turn itself around.
That's right. Well, it's been quite some time since we've had you on the radio, and just want to remind some of our listeners that you're down there in Poetry, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. And I've known you and your family for a long time.
That's right, a long time, before the babies were born. They're 13 now.
Yeah, and so, but at this time, you're a traveling minister, is that correct?
We are. We do pastor, but we travel as well. And we've had that, I guess you can call it a dual calling, for many, many years, and we love it. And so we normally are gone from our Sunday pulpit maybe once every 6 weeks, but during the week is when we do quite a bit of our ministry in other places and other churches. And so we really have a fun traveling ministry. We have a heart for the rural community and for small towns. And that's been our passion since I was young, and so we're just so grateful to have that opportunity to fulfill that part of our call. Whoops, pardon me, my phone. But yeah, we're really excited to just be able to fulfill those two parts of our call.
Yeah, that's awesome because we were talking earlier and before the program, and you actually have just been in the Texas Panhandle recently,
We were in Shamrock, and we've been in Shamrock twice this year with Pastor Joe Vallejos there at Calvary, and just had some wonderful times of ministry. As a matter of fact, when we were there in May, we did on a Saturday morning, we had a debt freedom financial center from 9 to noon, and it was powerful, man, just some powerful revelation. Of course, I actually, it's one of the things when you're teaching, you actually get really, really fresh utterance while you're teaching. So there were things that came up while I was teaching that weren't in my notes. And I tell you, it just blessed me. And then we ministered the Sunday morning service And then just about, I guess, maybe 7 weeks ago, we ministered on a Wednesday night, and then just kind of bounced around the panhandle. We love it out there.
Well, that's good. I know a lot of our listeners are in the Amarillo area, and I know you've been up there as well with pastors. Is that,
yes.
Is that right?
We have. We've been around. God, you know, it's so funny. We've been around the panhandle. You know, when our friends in Dumas were there, we were in Dumas for 20 years. Probably, I would dare say, once a year, if not more than once a year, in Dumas in general. And then, you know, several years back, we were there in Wheeler with the Mercers quite a bit. I think now that our kids are in school, it's been really, really good to get up in that area and get our kids' schedules together. And so, we've been in Amarillo quite a bit.
Well, you know, I'm not going to hold it against you that while you were in Shamrock, I didn't hear from you or Keza. And so,
you know what? I'm
going to
take your mercy. I'm going to take your mercy, and I'm going to tell you that next time we're going to hook up. Honestly, the last time we all met up there at Maxie's, I thought the Mercer said y'all were going to be there. So I'm like, oh, I thought the Thomases were going to be there. And so, but I may have been wrong. But we do think about y'all all the time. And every time we're in the panhandle, we do think about y'all. And the kids do too. So we do miss you.
Well, we miss y'all too. Now, Maxie's has a really good steak. So please don't misunderstand me when I say this. But if you give us a little bit advance notice, see, you can have a James Thomas steak,
you know,
right off the slab there.
I have heard about those for many, many years, and I think I actually will invite myself for one of those because I have heard about those, and I've never had one, and so yes, I'll take you up on that.
Yes, y'all are missing out for sure. Well, one of the things is I know that you have a ministry in Belize, and it seems like you guys have been going for how long have you guys been going over there?
You know, I think we're right at 9 years now. And, you know, it's funny because it's a wild how it all opened up, but it was kind of a supernatural thing how Belize opened up to us. We weren't looking for, you know, we never looked for opportunities. They're always there. And so there was one morning when I woke up and the Lord impressed on my heart to teach faith in Belize. I mean, I literally just woke up and that was just in my spirit, and it was strong in my spirit. And I just woke straight up and just sensed that inside. And so we knew a family that runs an orphanage down in the southern area. And so, you know, just kind of following them on Facebook, they were dealing with lots and lots of sickness. The husband was in his 30s and developed some sort of cancer. His mother developed tuberculosis. There were a lot of the staff in the orphanage are from the United States, and there was just various sickness. And so I reached out to the director, the lady who started the orphanage, and said, hey, listen, you know, if it would help you guys, if it would be a blessing, I'd love to come and teach healing, you know. And, mm-hmm. and you know, that's kind of one of the strengths of our ministry. We believe in instant miracles. We've had instant miracles, but if there's one thing that the body of Christ doesn't hear enough is how God heals by faith in the Word of God, and that's progressive. And so a lot of times, if we don't receive a instant miracle, we let go. But the Bible teaches so much about receiving by faith, and that is progressively as our faith increases and our unbelief decreases. But anyway, so we did that. We called them, and long story short, the time period that we were going to be able to go down there, they were actually going to be out of the country for 5 weeks. And so you know, we knew the Lord put in our heart to go preach faith, and so we are a part of a ministry network outside of Colorado Springs. And, you know, I just thought, I'm going to contact, one of the guys who's a part of that ministry who runs a Bible school in Belize City. And so we messaged him on Facebook because we just were looking for a place where we can rent and hold a meeting. That's kind of what we were going to do. And so when he messaged me back, he told me to contact another individual who knows more about that than he did. What I then contacted that he put me towards was a pastor in the southern region who was the president of the National Ministerial Fellowship, so he knew every pastor in the country. And so I contacted him, told him what was on our heart, and he said, "Well, you know, if you can change your date for 1 week, I think later," he said, "I'd love to have you come and minister at our church." And of course, the crazy thing, I never met him before. You know, typically we don't minister to all the time necessarily for people we don't know. We've always ministered by relationship only. They receive easier when they know you. But we had peace. And so we did. And so we wound up, going to Belize. We, did one of our own meetings in the main city for one night. And then we drove south through the rainforest and jungle area. And, when we got into his town, he had several meetings set up. We preached a Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then Friday night, in his region. In some jungle villages, and it was some wild roads you got to go down to get there. And then that Saturday morning, he hosted a pastor school, we preached, we taught, I want to say about 30 something pastors that morning. And then Sunday morning we were at his church, and then Sunday night we're in a different village, in a different region. And then the next two nights, Monday, Tuesday, we were in some other jungle villages. So all that happened, and we ministered down there for about 5 years. And then during that time, another fellowship group that we're a part of asked if we would do a crusade on a little island 20 miles off the coast of Belize called Key Calker. And so we did. We wound up going over there, meeting some great pastors, did a two-night crusade, saw instant miracles. It was really neat. And then made a connection with those pastors, and they invited us back every year since then. And so on the island, we hadn't ministered on the mainland in probably, maybe 4 years. But on the island, one of the churches on the island, they are just so hungry for the Word of God. And so we have just been for 5 years just plowing and sowing the Word into the people there on the island. And this year we've seen some major fruit. Now, last year we've seen some pretty awesome fruit. The pastor's daughter, who's in her 20s, she wound up getting MS. And you know, we seen her last year in July, and she looked terrible. You know, she was all swollen because of the medication. She had all these side effects, and she could barely walk. She was so weak. And that was July. Well, October, her and her dad came stateside just to get checked out here in America. And when we saw her, when they got to Texas, she was a different person. She had already begun. We started teaching faith for healing down there several years ago, but that year that we were there, we specifically taught all week long, I think six nights, on how to receive and how to believe God for healing. And so when we saw her in October, she was completely different. No symptoms of it. Matter of fact, she wound up spending about 2 weeks in Dumas, and the people she stayed with in Dumas took her to Paladura Canyon. And she hiked Paladura Canyon. And so we started seeing the fruit. She received her healing, completely healed of MS. And then this year, we saw more fruit. Matter of fact, one of the things about nations that have been considered very impoverished, you know, poverty is a mentality even before it's a reality. And if you can break that mentality or begin to tear down that mentality of poverty, you can change that. And once your mentality changes, your belief system changes, and your belief system is your faith. And so you'll begin to see change financially. Well, the church down there and the people down there, over the past 5 years, they have gone through a unbelievable change in their mindset. And this year really proved it out quite a bit. And just seeing what God's doing and how God's blessing them, it's just been awesome. And so this year, probably of all the years, we've been going almost 9 years, this was one of our most rewarding years, because, you know, our calling to go, we go wherever the Lord leads. We're not discouraged by low numbers of people. We're not encouraged by high numbers of people. We just love teaching the Word to whoever. And so we will plant, we will, We will work the ground, and we stay with it. We don't, you know, we just don't leave, you know, a group until the Lord releases us, but we just stay with it. And we saw the fruit this year. And so that was super duper encouraging seeing that.
I can only imagine. And, you know, you said these people are just hungry for the word and what that must do for someone who's bringing the word, that someone is really hungry for it, and how you just want to pour that out into them, obviously with the Holy Spirit. But I just can't even imagine, you know, when you see these people that are just hungry for the word.
Oh, yeah. It's so cool because, it's not that I'm long-winded. Yes, I like to talk by all means. But when we're down there, the pastor and his church, they'll bring their notebooks, they'll bring their Bibles, and they just really are soaking it up. And so, honestly, when we're down there, because our time is so limited, we will teach for a solid hour. And so the church service might be an hour and a half. And we'll teach and minister for an hour, and then we'll minister under the anointing at the altar. And we have just seen so many great things happening. And what's really neat about this group of people, they are learning how to believe God for their needs to be met instead of somebody else meeting their needs for them. And so a lot of times, so many people in various countries, they just are developed to ask people for things and bypass God. And now God uses people by all means. However, it's so cool seeing this group, this pastor and this church, they just go straight to the Word of God for whatever they need, and they're seeing it. I mean, they're just seeing some massive things left and right. And then because of that, because of their faith, God's opening very, very big doors for this church and this ministry there on the island, and big doors opening for them because of their faith and their believing God. So it really is great. So, and I could teach forever. You know, I told them before we left, I said, man, I could probably go another 3 weeks on this subject. And so, but we had to head back. We turned around, went to Florida just a day after we came back home to our area. And so it's just exciting. A lot of people, they look for a break in ministry. We love doing what we do. And I cannot imagine, I don't mind a vacation, but I cannot imagine staying away from what I'm called to do and what fulfills us for more than about a week and a half. You know, that's about as long as I care to be gone, but we just love it. We're not career ministers, we're called ministers. And so we love just staying in gear and staying in motion.
And that's just doing what God has called you to do with joy in your heart.
That's right.
Yeah,
we do. We really do.
You know, thinking about, you know, these people that have got out their notebooks and they're listening, and I can think of those messages that I've sat in, and you're just soaking everything in that just, you know, it's just like the Holy Spirit is giving you revelation of what is being taught. And when they're down, you're like, no, don't stop. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
it's a neat thing. You know, our spirit really does crave nutrition, you know, just like your body does. Our spirit craves that because, you know, for myself, for so long, you know, growing up, I had so much religion and so much tradition, but it wasn't truth necessarily, and it definitely wasn't a whole lot of good news. And so, so with that, when I started discovering that there's more, man, my spirit just, it was almost like it came alive again. I was saved and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but when I started hearing, you know, the explanation, the understanding of the word and kingdom principles, I just came alive, and it was such a big deal to me. And, you know, just not even just, when you're hungry, not even just going to and being in a service, you know, is the only place to get fed, but like the past 3 weeks, we have some, I would call them friends, but they're really more mentors that we were with at some meetings in Dallas, which really was our ministry conference a few weeks back. And then this same couple, they came to Belize. It's funny because they thought they were vacationing in Belize while we were there, but I had them scheduled. It was so funny, but just a powerful couple out of Savannah, Georgia. And then we were with them all last week in Marianna, Florida, for youth camp. And so us spending time with this couple for 3 weeks, just sitting around talking about the word, listening to them. My wife and I, we just came up. You know, we just being around them, we really rose because, you know, because they're full of the word, and just them talking and talking about different things and talking about church things and ministry things and kingdom things. It was so neat because my wife and I walked away feeling full, you know, just hanging out with full ministers. And we weren't even trying to minister or get ministered to, but because we're hungry and we recognize that there are people that are so full of the word and full of the anointing, your wife to get around them and just soak it up and listen to what they have to say. And so even that, we were so hungry, just hanging out with folk we got fed.
That's right. And it goes along with whatever you put in is going to come out of your mouth. And
that's
so
it.
It's like, you know, it makes me think about people that are so excited over that sale and they want to tell everybody about that sale. Well, when you are so, you're hearing and you're receiving from God, you can't help but tell people. You can't help but just talk about it. And when you get around people that can talk about it with you, how much more it strengthens you in your faith, or just
that's true.
Just strengthens you.
You know, that's true. And there's a verse, and I believe it was in Deuteronomy. I wish I could remember right now, but it said this. It said to talk about the word, to talk about the law or the promises when you're at the table. Talk about it when you're, you know, pardon me, at random places. It just mentions the fact that we need to get in the habit of talking about the word, not just at church alone, but mm-hmm. at breakfast, at dinner. You know, we're trying to do that with our kids because there just isn't any reason why we can't help fill our own kids up as well. And then my wife and I, you know, we'll be together, we'll be talking about different things, and she'll tell me something she learned that morning, and I'll tell her something I learned that morning. And it's just a good time where we all can minister to each other, but at the same time, you know, stirring that stuff up. And I was reading this morning, there was a verse that talked about provoking people to good works and to love. And, mm-hmm. you know, spending 3 weeks with this couple that we did, you know, when we came home, there's two main things that really stirred in me the most. Number one is that my prayer life needs to be better. And then I need to honor my wife more. Now I don't think we talked about any of those two topics, but just because my heart was so hungry, you know, as you grow, the Spirit of God begins to convict you and show you better ways to get closer to Him. And so with that, when I got home, man, the two things that were, matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me one morning during my devotional time in my recliner, you know, I said, God, I honor you, and I just want to honor you more. And I heard in my spirit, if you honor your wife, you'll honor me. If you're honoring your wife, you're honoring me. And I'm thinking, you know, I thought I was, but there was a greater degree.
mm-hmm.
And now I had a hard time telling her that, but you know, I didn't want her to be all, yeah, I told you so, boy. But at the same time, we just came up, and then, of course, our prayer life. There's a higher level of intercession that God really needs believers to enter into, but we're all just too darn busy to let the Spirit of God pray through us. So I'm fixing mm-hmm. that in my life.
Yeah, that's good. Me too. And that's what James and I, it's like in everything that we hear and see and do, it's like, draw into me more, draw into me more. And that's good. And, you know, talking with your family or even, you know, in your workplace, because, you know, we this is one of the things I keep saying on the show is that the ministry is not just for the pastor. It's for everybody, wherever you're at and whatever position you're in. You talk about what God's doing in your life. And by doing that, talking about that, especially in your home family at home, it's like, okay, what is God showing you, you know, what is God saying to you? What do you feel like God's saying to you? And just being able to share that and knowing that God is real and He's active and He is talking and He wants relationship with us.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. And it's so neat that you mentioned, you know, how we really need to grow at ministering to others at our jobs, at our schools, and out in public. This past Sunday, one of the things the Lord really matter of fact, it wasn't even my message, but the Lord started dealing with us about what it really means when Jesus, during one of his parables, said that, we are to be like yeast. We are to be like active yeast, that when we are sprinkled into the dough of the world, we should cause the people around us to rise. And if mm-hmm. if we are not causing people around, now that's sinners and Christians. And so we should help a sinner if they're not ready to receive Jesus yet, if they're being stubborn or whatever. We don't just quit because they say no to Jesus. We can still help them, encourage them, but again, we're supposed to cause people to rise. That's why you can't just stay at home and not go anywhere. You got to pop into places. And really,
that's
sometimes
right.
You got to do it on purpose. You go to the grocery store before you get out of the car. Pray in the Holy Ghost or just have a talk with yourself to remind yourself what you're doing. I know you got a list, but what you're really doing there. And then he also said that we're supposed to be salt. And so salt brings out the flavor mm-hmm. in things. And if we're supposed to be salt, yet nothing around us is popping. Nothing around us is increasing. People around us aren't having a good flavor. We're not helping them, in some form or fashion. Then what exactly are we doing? And so, so that's a big deal. We've been talking about that for quite a while. But specifically, as yeast, as active yeast, we should, and this is not for ministers. This is for everyone. But
that's right.
We should cause people to rise up. There's got to be a rising up of our sphere of influence, and that's kind of the thing, is we're on the earth to influence for the kingdom,
that's our purpose.
That's our purpose. And so if we're not influencing, what exactly are we doing? And it really is intentional. In other words, we have to make ourselves think about that and remind ourselves daily, because we want to go to the store and just buy something and then that's it. But are you there for Jesus, or are you there for you? Because if I'm there just for me, that's me living by the flesh, not living by faith, mm-hmm. And so I need to make sure, it's funny, we were at a Big Lots store the other day, I think it was my daughter and I, and there was a lady in front of us checking out, and as we were checking out, and the cashier had a mental breakdown right there, and she totally forgot how to use a cash register. Well, I think it was the Holy Ghost, but the lady in front of me that was being checked out at that moment, she actually knew exactly how to do it. So she literally walked the cashier through all that, and then they finally got done, and she went on her way. And so when I came up there and was putting my stuff on the counter there, the cash register lady, she said, like, I'm sorry it took so long. I just don't know how to. Of course, thank God I have my credit card, and I was going to pay with credit card, make it a whole lot easier. so after she checked us out, I just looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, Jesus doesn't want your mind scattered. I said, he loves you and does not want you to be confused, but he wants you to be at peace. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, oh, yes, yes. And so I looked at the lady that was waiting in the line behind me. I said, ma'am, I'm just going to pray for her real quick. And the lady's like, oh, yeah, go for it. So I grabbed her hand and we prayed for her, and we released our faith and we believed God. And then we were done and we just said amen and have a good day, and we walked away. And that was so simple. It's just so simple.
That's right.
But, we between insecurities, which is thinking of ourselves, insecurities is thinking of ourselves, those are things that hold us back from being Jesus to people. And I want to get better at that. I want to get rid of insecurities and just, man, recognize that I am in Christ, he is in me, and I got a job to fulfill.
That's right. That's right. I'm there with you. I'm going to try to get better at that myself.
Me
you know,
too.
I think about, when I'm at the store, in that checker, you can tell she is having a bad day.
Yeah.
Something's going on. We can just get our stuff and just leave and not say anything. Or we can just say a simple hello, I hope you have a better day, smile, something,
Yeah, and, that is so true. When we got home from Belize, it was a rough travel day that day. We normally fly directly from Belize City to Dallas. But that day we flew into Houston, then from Houston to Dallas. Well, long story short, we had a 3-hour delay in Houston. They wind up, or actually it's 4 hours. Our flight got canceled because of mechanical issues. And so when we were trying to trying to make sure to get on another flight, you know, it would have been so easy for us to walk up to the lady at the desk and just hammer her, you know, or even, you know, while they were fixing the first problem, we were on the airplane for 2 hours with no AC. And, man, I'm telling you, yeah, it was miserable. It was hot. And, you know, miserable and anger go together. And so, but, you know, I told Keys, I said, you know, everybody else is doing that. Let's be the one to stand out and not do it. And so it took every bit of effort not to act like I felt. And, of course, you know, that was the thing that our kids are going to watch us do also. They're going to watch Mom and Daddy act how they feel or make themselves not act how they feel. And so we did, and we thank God we got on another flight that evening, and we probably should have been home by 11 o'clock, but I think it was 2 a.m. when we got home to our house. But, you know, we just had every opportunity to act like jerks because – we were interrupted, and now we're going to be, you know, tired and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so that helped, you know, that helps me think better and act better when I realize, okay, well, you know, I'm not Mr. Perfect, but I've got to think, okay, am I really influencing like I'm supposed to? Am I modeling, you know, who I'm supposed to be modeling for? If I'm an ambassador, if I'm a representative of Jesus, I mean, Am I really doing it well? And of course, you know, the biggest thing is I got to do better at doing that at home in private. And that way it'll be natural when I leave the house. If I'm a idiot, if I'm a goofball, if I'm mean and explosive anger at my house, it's going to take a whole lot of work to act nice when I leave the house. But if I practice being a representative of Jesus to my wife and to my kids, number one, they won't grow up with hypocrite parents. And then, you know, it's, you know, when you grow up with hypocrite parents, there's a lot of, you know, statistics about the kids leaving the Lord because they're like, well, it wasn't real to mom and dad. So why is it real to, why would it be real to me? And so, you know, with that, we apologize to our kids. We let them know, hey, daddy acted like a fool. And cause I want my kids to know that I'm not a faker. And so, you know, so we're trying to act right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We grew up with an awesome mom who was not perfect. She was a powerhouse, but she wasn't perfect, and she never tried to act like it. And she apologized, you know, when she got real crazy, and so we got it. You know, we understood, and you know, all of us, you know, my sister and I, we are both serving the Lord today, and as a matter of fact, she's taking care of my parents in their old age, and so, but it was because mom wasn't a hypocrite. So we're learning.
I tell you, we sometimes think that we've got there, but anytime we think we're there, that's when we know we got a whole lot longer to go, a whole lot more to go.
You know, that really is the truth, and that is something that we really try to tell a lot of ministry friends that, you know, we, even as ministers, we're still growing, and it's super important for us as ministers to let our people know that we're still growing because, you know, we do make mistakes, and we do slip up, but at the same time, we want them to know we're growing, we're learning, and the Lord's dealing with us for things. Now, you know, the Bible says that God's counted us faithful, calling us in the ministry. So the line is a lot tighter for us ministers, and we shouldn't, you know, there's a lot of moral issues we shouldn't be battling right now because we, you know, we got a call in our lives. But at the same time, you know, we got different things we deal with, because we're still growing also, and I don't know any minister I'll tell you, one of my favorite Bible teachers, and I won't mention his name, but he's an international guy. He's well known, very famous, tons and tons of books. I'm not going to say I idolize him, but he is a hero to me. Well, one year I was at a minister's conference in El Paso, and just by the favor of God, the rental car upgraded me to this big four-door sedan. And so the director of that area said, hey, well, since you got the biggest car, will you pick up Brother So-and-so and kind of chauffeur him around? And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, that would just be like a dream thing to do for me to hang out with this guy. And so, well, you know, during that week, he wound up getting really sick with a lot of cold symptoms. And it just dawned on me, you know, he's just like us. He's growing. He's believing God just like we're believing God, you know. And for me to think, and that's the thing, there's a difference between being sick and being attacked with sickness. And so, you know, we deal with sickness like we deal with sin. We resist. Just like we're going to resist sin, we're going to resist sickness. We're going to resist lack. We're going to resist wrong thinking. And so, so we're all growing.
That's right. That's right. Well, so I love calling you. I love to hear about what's going on in the Munu world. And I love Munu. I love that name. I think that's
awesome. Thanks.
Whenever you guys had the twins, you called them the Mini Moos. And I thought,
Mini
Moos. Mini Moos right there. And I thought, that is perfect.
I tried to call them that just recently. They looked at me and they're like, Dad, we're not Mini anymore. I'm like, you'll always be Mini to me.
I was like, you're Mini of me.
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there. So, you know, a lot of times I just kind of wonder, is there anything that you feel like that God has really just been pressing upon you here in these last several months that, and we may have already talked about it, I don't know, but, you know, a lot of times God will just, through a season, will be speaking to us about a certain thing.
Yes, as a matter of fact, He is. And I would say for, oh gosh, maybe 5 months now, probably the top thing that the Lord's been dealing with us and showing us and opening our eyes to is what's happened in America from the inception of America. My family and I, with my wife's parents, my in-laws, we all went to the Northeast recently, went to Gettysburg, and man, we rode horseback across Gettysburg for 3 hours. That was awesome. And then we went to Philadelphia and saw the Independence Hall and all the history in Philadelphia, went to D.C., and then Maryland, a few places. And here's what I noticed. In those regions where America began, there are few gospel churches. Now, there's a lot of religious churches, but very few Bible-teaching churches. And the churches that are out there are beautiful and massive, but they're not Bible churches. They're not churches that go by the Bible as if the Bible is God's unadulterated truth. And so when we went out there, man, the thought crossed my mind, how come all these giant churches are here, but none of them are Bible-believing churches? And the biggest thing that the Lord had kept impressing on my heart is a lack of discipleship. So when a person gets saved, we, you know, and for the most part, we just say, hey, praise God, welcome to the kingdom, angels are rejoicing, and that's about it. Well, the problem is the Bible says that they are born again, and so when you are born, you got to learn how to walk. You got to learn how to talk. And so that means there should be some intense instruction in that. That's a process. Discipleship is a process. I mean, Jesus discipled his people for 3 years, and they were still making mistakes all the way until he got crucified. And so the Bible teaches us, Jesus said this, he didn't say go to get folks saved, he said go make disciples. And so one of the problems, though, it takes too long and too much effort to do what Jesus said and actually disciple people, because if you just get them saved and tell them to come to church and then impress them every Sunday, that'll grow your church faster. Now, you'll have a bunch of babies, but they'll listen to the pastor, whatever he says, and they'll be really in tune with the pastor because they're developed now to only hear that voice. But Jesus said make disciples. So in other words, we should be growing people, and then as they grow, one of the places of discipleship is the sending. That doesn't mean kicking them out of your church, but it means getting them involved in ministry, because Ephesians 4:11-12 says that the main reason God gave fivefold ministry is to train the believers for the work of ministry. And so character training, how to pray. You know, most people don't really know that the Bible teaches 9 different types of prayers. And so most people don't know that. And so, you know, learning how to believe God. What does it mean to believe God? What's the difference between healing and miracles? And so we do healing school at our place every week when we're in town. Summer it's kind of a little bit sporadic because we're on the road. But like we're getting ready to do it's a morning healing school. This fall we'll do a 6-week series on healing in the evening, but we're still doing our midday healing school here at our ministry as well. And the reason why is that's something that a lot of churches don't necessarily teach. everyone believes and talks about instant miracles, but not on healing. And so we've got to be discipled. I've been in church all of my life, and I still need to be discipled by mentors. I still need to be under mentors and learn from mentors and corrected by mentors. And so gifts of the Spirit, you know, so many churches don't really have a good understanding of gifts of the Spirit, and because they don't have understanding of it, you keep it flowing. And so there's just so much that we lost by not making disciples, not being a disciple, because of the inconvenience of it, because of the effort and the longevity of it. But you know, pastors, they don't reproduce sheep. Sheep reproduce sheep. But we want to make sure that we're training our sheep on when they reproduce, we want to train them on how their offspring should look and how their offspring should be. You should now help your offspring. And so, mm-hmm. so all that to say, that's what I noticed. And then, you know, and so since the inception of America, all we did was get folks saved and that was it. And so we never really implemented discipleship. We never really tried to disciple people. And then it got worse over time because now, you know, the big craze is just having a big church and gathering folk and encouraging them on Sunday, which is wonderful. But if we're not discipling, and you know, the word intentional is kind of a, you know, been used quite a bit, but that really is the idea is we have to on purpose disciple people and teach them about grace, teach them what faith is, teach them what seed time and harvest. You know, the main primary law that God functioned from the beginning is, you know, Genesis 8:22, the law of sowing and reaping. You know, he said as long as the earth remains, cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest will not end. And so there's a law there that functions by everything. And then if you begin to learn the parables of Jesus, he said this about the law of the parable of the seed. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of my parables. And that parable he was talking about was the law of the seed is the word of God. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that have been lost because of non-disciples, where we're not discipling. And you look at the condition of our country, I believe that it's us pastors and us spiritual leaders and then the church that should be the gatekeeper for morality in the country and politics in the country. And if we're not discipling, then our people won't even know how to vote, you know, or that we need to. A lot of people think God comes down and jumps into voting booths and whoever he votes for wins. But no, he uses the hand of man. He'll show us how to vote and we get out there and do it for him. Just like he didn't drop down from heaven and witness for himself. We do that for him. It's the same thing with voting. It's the same thing with anything else. So that's discipleship. Right. Has been our the biggest thing the Lord's been dealing with us. So we're revamping a lot of things here at our church. We're growing in that area. But at the same time, we tell our people every single Sunday, you could at least teach someone what you just been taught. And that's all you have to do. If you heard something on Sunday, and I'll say this, it's just one of these things that really proves itself out. If you really want to help someone, then God will bring something back to your memory that you learned here recently and speak it to people. We have a lady that she takes the healing message from our weekday healing school, and she teaches about two other people. One of our other ladies does that with her employer, teaches her employer about healing, and then wounds up doing lots of ministry at her job. And another one works at a hospital. She's a nurse, and she's constantly ministering to her coworkers and ministering to her parents they're saved, but they're not really living like they should. And so it's just so neat when people, it's almost like they've been set free because they say, well, I don't know what to say to people. You just say what you know, that's why we learn is so we can know what to say. And then you say what you know, and you minister to the degree that, and then I have one lady, she'll text me questions. Somebody's asking her questions. You don't know it. She'll text me, and I will make sure when she texts me, I make sure and get back with her because I know her situation and she needs that answer right away. And God's faithful to give us answers because there's every answer in the Word, and that's just the bottom line. But yeah, that's it. That's the big thing is being salt on the earth, being that yeast, bringing people up, and then discipling people, helping them to understand the Word of God how to use the Word of God. If you never get proficient with your sword, then when a situation happens that you need to use that sword of the Word of God, it's going to be rusted and it'll be stuck in your scabbard, or you just won't know how to use it.
Right. You know, I'm thinking about, and I know you're thinking about from a pastor standpoint, but I think about from the person that needs to be discipled. Are you willing? Is your heart willing? You know, you receive the Lord, and you know, and we talked about who are we hanging out with? Who, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
And you were talking about that couple that you had been with. You guys chose to spend time with them, and you built each other up in the faith. And that's something I think that as people, we need to be willing to make different choices. Because I think a lot of times when we get saved, or people get saved, and they think everything's going to turn around in a snap of a finger because now they're a Christian. And that's not the case.
And what
you've been doing for, say, last 20 years, you know, it's not going to be gone. Although, like what you said, God is an instant. I do believe in instant miracles.
Yes, absolutely. I've had them.
Yes, and I've had them too. But I've also had the process miracles too.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think about too, is are we making ourselves available to be discipled?
You know, that's a big thing, and I know a lot of people, especially people who are trying to pour into other people and disciple them, you know, that's kind of one of they always tell me that's the issue, that, you know, this person just got saved, but they don't want to be discipled. What I have found is you don't have to ever announce your intentions as an influencer. In other words, it's kind of like the CIA. The CIA goes to a foreign country. They don't announce what they're doing there, but they will secretly and silently influence the politics, influence the people, influence the military for their purpose, not that country's purpose, but for our purpose, the purpose of the United States.
Yes.
But they don't announce their intentions. And so with that, we have to be, what is that scripture, wise as a serpent, or something like that. So, I forgot how that goes. But anyway, we've got to be wise, and don't tell them you're influencing them. Just influence them and go hang out with them. You know, my sister lives in Houston, and she was telling me the other day that her pastor gave this big challenge, and the challenge was simply this: once a week, try to interject the name of Jesus and or a scripture into a conversation once a week. And then she said that the challenge is try to invite one person to church a month. Now, that some people say once a month, we should do it once a week. Okay, well, let's start with what we're not doing. Okay, well, let's just go ahead and start once a month. You know, and so once a month, just invite one person a month new to church. Man, she's been inviting some wild guys. My sister has always been in the music scene. And so the guys that she invited to church, she actually had to warn the pastor of the church what she was fixing to bring. And so it's pretty wild. So these guys actually took her up on it, started coming, and they were shocked that they were received by this church. And so they've been coming.
Awesome.
And so then the third one is invite someone out to eat at least once a month. She said, basically, it's, you know, you're talking to people a lot, but you know, have you ever just sat down with them to talk? And so invite someone out to eat that you never really had a long conversation with because you're passing by, you're at work, you're at the gym, whatever. Go have coffee, go have lunch, and then sit down and talk with them. Because, you know, the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Exactly.
You have to be intentional without stating your intentions. And so that's one of the things that we are really working at with helping people. And this is what I'm practicing as well, is you know, be a sleeper, man, where they don't even know what you're doing, but you're influencing them for Jesus. Man, you know, we'll lay hands on people, we'll shake hands, and I grab the hand. They don't even hear me. I call you blessed in Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. And, you know, go to someone's house. Jesus said this. Jesus said, when you go to someone's house, speak peace there. And if they receive you, your peace remains there. But if they don't receive you, bring your peace back with you. Go and leave. And so mm-hmm. we can speak things over people's houses when we go visit. You know, when you go out with somebody to eat and you pray over the food, man, you can really work some stuff in there. You know, you're praying over the food, but you can just say, Father, bless our time together. And, you know, that's a weird prayer. I thought you were praying over the food. No, I'm blessing our time. This is valuable. This is so, man, I'm glad you took time for me to come and you know, all that. And so if we just start thinking more about seek ye first the kingdom of God, how can I affect the kingdom of God today, instead of what can I get done on my agenda today, that will help out quite a bit in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Pastor Manu, I'm thinking about these listeners that are hearing all of these things, and we're talking about, you know, seeking God and discipling and just loving on people and, you know, just those different things. And I was just wondering, would you be willing to pray for our listeners?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anything that might come on your heart, but especially, you know, some of the things that we've mentioned today.
Absolutely. Well, let's just pray real quick. I have some things stirring up. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word and just to brag on Jesus and to brag on how great the mm-hmm. kingdom of God is. And Lord, I thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, I just sense that what I hear in my spirit to just pray over those listening is that they'll begin to get stirred up. Number one, Lord, to press into the plan of God more, which the plan mm-hmm. of God is very simple, Lord. It is growing in you, seeking you first, but then also people. And blessing people and influencing people for you. And Lord, I know people are going to say they don't know what to say to people. I don't know how to approach people. But Father, they can say all the way up to what they know to say, what they learned at church. And Lord, if there are mm-hmm. those that are listening that have not been connected to the body of Christ in a long time, well, for whatever reason, Father, I just thank you that that will just fall off of them and they will reconnect with the local body of Christ. Lord, it's hard for you to be the head of the church if the head is disconnected from the body. And so, Father, I mm-hmm. just thank you for that they're recognizing that they need to grow just like we all need to grow. And, Lord, your word said to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So, Father, I thank you for understanding, for a greater understanding of the word for those that desire that. Lord, there are some people that say, I would love to go to Bible school to learn, but Father, I thank you for these great churches and great pastors. And then, Lord, there's some great ministries they can connect with that can be a blessing to them also. And so, Lord, I just thank you for feeding their spirit with the Word mm-hmm. of God, stirring their spirit with the Spirit of God. And, Father, we just bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's, you know, it makes me think about that scripture in 1st or 2nd Peter. I always can't remember which one it's in, but it says, God has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness.
That's it. That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. And so we
right.
have what we need.
Yeah, that's it. Through the knowledge of Him. And
that's
so,
right.
So we're going to grow. I'm going to grow. You're going to grow. Everyone listening is going to grow.
That's right. And so remind us again, we've got three things that we're going to try to do. Tell us again, and I'm gonna challenge my listeners to follow through with these three things that you just mentioned earlier. Will you mention them again?
Yes. You know, the first one I would say is grow. Is get plugged into your local church so you can grow. You know, as we grow in the Lord, as we desire that sincere milk, as we grow, then number one, things will begin to change in our lives. But then also, that's part of discipleship. And if you're a leader listening, we've got to get back to discipling people. And so that's a huge deal. But also influence, you know, there, we've got to get back to influencing other people. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be yeast. And so judge yourself, challenge yourself in that area that, you know what, have I influenced somebody today? And again, you don't have to announce that you're influencing them. But just go in there with the intention of being an influence. And I'll say this, I believe God's word is going to really start to open up like never before as you're doing that. And so I'm excited. I forgot what the all three was, but that's what's on my, that was, that's what was
hey, that's
there.
Okay. That's okay. They can go back and listen, but
oh,
just
good,
encourage,
good.
Yeah, encourage, go out, invite someone to church, go out and invite someone to your church.
Yeah.
But But what came to mind, I really have something stirring. I believe that somebody that's listening has said to themselves that there's something wrong with them, that they're weird or they're different, and God can't use them. And so I just want to speak to that. God made you just the way he made you for a reason, and he can use you, and he will use you. All you have to do is say yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
No matter how weird we think we are, God can use our personality to touch the people that would receive from that personality.
That's right. That's right. And then we have to watch ourselves, because sometimes the enemy tells us what to think about ourselves, and we've got to cast down that imagination. Because remember, the 10 spies, the 10 of the 12, they said that the people in Canaan, they see us as grasshoppers, and we see ourselves as grasshoppers. They never met the Canaanite giants, but yet they think the Canaanite giants see them as grasshoppers, and then they see themselves. That was the enemy. That was the enemy speaking to their minds, speaking
That's
to their
right.
feelings. And so don't believe it. I'm weird, and I'm happy about it.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I'm weird, but hey, that's okay. I just take my weirdness and I go on, and there's people that like it and people that don't like it. That's okay.
And tough luck for those ones that don't like it, because you're missing
that's
a whole
right.
lot of fun.
Because here's the deal. We all got our own little form of weirdness in there.
We
know?
Do. Yeah. Yeah,
we
and
all
I'm okay
do.
With it.
So that's right. So I just really want to encourage our listeners that it's not on you. It's not a burden that you have to bear, but God wants to do it in you and through you. You just have to say yes and be willing to do that and seek him, as Pastor Munu was saying, seek him and seek his word. And, you know, one thing I like to tell people is when they're going throughout their week and you've been ministering to them, and sometimes, you know, the people just need to hear from God. There's just a time when people need to hear from God. And I said, I believe, and I'm going to say this to our listeners tonight, but I believe that God will speak to you in a way that only you would understand.
Yes. That's his promise.
Yes. And so I said that for our listeners. You know, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? And are you seeking an answer or a word from God? And I believe in this week he is going to show you and speak to you in a way that only you would be able to understand it.
That's it. I believe that. John 10:4 says, my sheep know my voice. And so in our spirit, we know what he's saying. We're just, sometimes we get confused from our head. And so we're learning, we're training ourselves to listen on the inside, listen in our spirit.
That's right. That's right. Well, I think we're running about to run out of time.
Oh,
what a fast.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
I know. I did too. I just like you said, you can't, it's just, there's something about just talking about God, how it builds you up and every time to have a show. And so I just, I hope our listeners have a good week this week and sound sleep tonight. And we just pray that you are blessed and, go and say hi and love on somebody this week.
Yes.
And so, hey, Pastor Munu, thank you so much for joining me on here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and because, you know, you could have said no.
No.
And so I appreciate all the ministry that you're doing. And just like my song, my intro song is, God is on the move.
Yeah.
Whether you see it or not, God is on the move. He's on the move in not just one area or one person, but he's on the move everywhere in all ministries and all. And so jump on, y'all. Jump on and get in
with
that move. That's right. That's right. So we just pray that you bless there down, that you guys are blessed in poetry. Established 2020. 2020.
Yes.
And we'll go ahead and sign off for tonight. And so we just say good night, everybody.
God bless y'all.